Good afternoon. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm a product manager at Microsoft in Redmond and the Windows Phone team. Today, we're going to talk to you about notifications and tiles in Windows Phone 8. If you have seen Windows Phone at all, I'm sure you're aware that tiles are perhaps one of the most distinctive, compelling aspects of Windows Phone. And tiles really are not that interesting or useful unless you have applications that use the tiles. So it's very important, and it's exciting for us to share with you ways that you can leverage tiles to really bring a lot of character and distinctiveness to your applications. Windows Phone 8 is really a huge release for us, and tiles and notifications are one of the big ways in which we've enhanced Windows Phone. We've given you more ways to integrate with the operating system. We've given you more of the capabilities that we had not previously exposed to developers. So there's a lot of really interesting material here. I'm excited to show it to you today. Before we get started, though, how many of you have seen Windows Phone 8? You've seen the new tile sizes? Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about that, but there's also new tile templates. There's new notification types. It's one of the most important characteristics of the phone itself. I mean, we talk about the phone being a personal phone that you make your own, and having those tiles there on the home screen that light up, that show people the information they care about, is the main way that that takes place. So think about that as we go through some of these things. Before we go into what's new, I'll just spend a few minutes talking about where we are right now in terms of what tiles are. Because obviously we've had the product for a while. We've had Windows Phone. And in 7.5, we enhanced and extended what you could do with tiles. Now in 8, we're doing even more. So that's sort of what the agenda is today. A lot of this talk is going to be focused on the actual code that you write to leverage a lot of these features. So we'll go through a pretty good sample application that demonstrates how to use these features. So what do we have so far in Windows Phone? Before we go into the coding, it's important to get a clear picture of the user experience pieces. On the left-hand side there, you'll see what a tile looks like, and obviously it's got a graphical characteristic to it. There's a background image, there's a count, there's a tile, a title, and that's on the front of the tile. We also have back of tile now, as of Windows Phone 7.5, that developers can leverage. You can show the back content, you can also have an image there, and you can also update the back title as well. Now, on the right-hand side, you see toast notifications. This is one of the ways that you can actually communicate with the user in a more immediate manner, either locally with application processes running in the background or through push notification. The push notification service is one way that you can communicate with the end user more directly, too. Of course, push notifications require that you have a server application that drives that experience, and we know that that's a lot of additional work for many people. But we're also driving really hard to create solutions like Windows Azure Mobile Services. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the information about that. But with Azure Mobile Services, it's easier than ever for you to create an application that lives in the cloud that could drive notification experiences. So one of the biggest hurdles for developers has always been the hosting and staging of a server application. So we think Azure Mobile Services is going to really make that a much easier thing to do. But this is what we had as of Windows Phone 7.5. What does our push notification structure look like? Because I think it's important just to touch on this really quickly in case you're not familiar with how this works today. You can add push notification to your application. What this enables you to do is send updates to that app in a dynamic manner. Even when the app's not running. So if you want to update weather, if you want to update stocks, if you want to send down new news stories, that's the sort of thing that you would do with push notification. And the way that this works is you basically use our service called MPNS, the Microsoft Push Notification Service, to do this, to accomplish this. The application itself works through a push client service on the phone to get a unique identifier that then gets sent to your cloud application. Your cloud application then uses that unique identifier to communicate with all of the apps that are running all the phones that are running your app. So basically, MPNS is a server service that enables you to address everybody running your app. And that's how it works today. Now, after 7.5, we did hear a few things back. We had a limit of 30 applications using push notifications on one phone at a time. And people didn't like that fact. They always were afraid that they were going to be the 31st app. We heard that people wanted to have more of the functionality of the tiles. They saw that we were doing things in our apps that they couldn't do in their apps. And so that was another piece of feedback we heard a lot about. We knew that the tile API was pretty easy to use, but there was inconsistencies because we had shell tile, and then we also had shell tile schedule. These two, and the two APIs were not necessarily that consistent with each other. And, overall, we knew that the developers wanted to do more of those built-in things that we did. So we'll go through some of what we've done to try to address those. In push, we've taken away the 30 endpoint limit. So now there's no longer any limitation on the number of applications running on any one phone that can leverage push notification. We also have this new feature called DataSense. And in Windows Phone, one of the biggest principles is that the end user has control over the phone. DataSense is a new feature in Windows Phone 8 that enables end user to specify that when they start to hit a data limit on a mobile operator plan, that it can shut down network activity automatically in an automatic manner. So push obviously respects that, and it plays a role in understanding how push works. We also now have the ability to launch VoIP applications with push notifications. This is how the VoIP background service now works in Windows Phone. But the really, really compelling new things going on here are with regard to live tiles. And we've updated the API with a real eye towards consistency. So today there are three different APIs here that we're really talking about. Push, shell tile, and shell tile schedule. These are the ways that you control push notification, or the actual alerts that show up in your tiles and your notifications. But in 7.5, in shell tile, for example, front image and back image, you could control those, but you could not initialize them with remote images. You could only initialize them with local images. And shell tile schedule was not consistent at all. You could actually use those for remote images for the front image, but it didn't do anything else at all. And now we fixed that. So we've got shell tile schedule being able to leverage all the aspects of a tile. And we've actually fixed shell tile so it now actually can use remote images for both front and back of the tile at the start. We've also added the ability to leverage XML payloads. And if you do any push notification work, this is important because that's how you actually control tiles. That's the type of message payload that you send down from your server application. And if you're familiar with using XML that way, it could be quite, it make a lot of sense for you to also leverage XML in building your local tile, and as opposed to using the strongly typed parameters. The big deal, though, is these new templates that we're addressing, because we've got three new templates. The flip template is essentially the update to the existing standard tile. And you'll notice here the three sizes as well. That's the other thing that's really important. We now support wide tile, medium, and we always had the medium tile, obviously. But now we also support this wide tile of 691 by 336. The medium tile has changed to 336 by 336 from about half that resolution before. We've also gotten rid of the gutter in Windows Phone 8, so we no longer have this gutter, so that's given us more room for tile size. And then we have the small tile. Now, if you haven't done you know, your existing applications will run and they'll automatically get a small tile. You don't automatically get the large tile. The large tile is one that we didn't believe we could actually approximate programmatically. So there's more issues there with regard to existing applications. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, the thing to note here is that a couple other things. The count information is the same on all these tiles, but you can use a different image on wide versus medium. And you can also use different content on the back, wide versus medium. On the wide tile, each line is a different field parameter that you can actually put your own information that you want on it. So the next tile template that I want to talk about is the cycle tile template. A lot of people told us that they loved our PhotoHub template, and they wanted to be able to automatically generate a tile that looked and worked just like the tile for PhotoHub. So now you have this. So this lets you take 9 local images and cycle them, and it automatically composes the tile and performs the animations. The wide tile size will center crop to medium. It uses the same 9 images for both wide and medium. And it also, so the way that this works is it uses local images because 9 is a lot, and we didn't think that it made sense to have all 9 brought down at one time. So the way that we think people are going to use this is to use a background agent to get the images on a periodic basis to update the images. The last and perhaps most interesting new template is the iconic template. This is the one that we got an enormous amount of requests for. A lot of people ended up trying to approximate what this looks like by composing an image on the server and pushing that image down. And that's a lot of work. So now we do it for you automatically with this template. It has a count value. The count value is this beautiful icon. It uses a number of different images for the small icon image and the medium-sized icon image. The content on the wide tile is, again, this is more textual-based. So you've got 3 lines of text that you can control as well in the icon template. And it has a lot of beautiful animations built in. So when you first go to your start screen, the numbers count up. So in a kind of interesting way. We'll look at that in a minute. So I want to take a look now at some of the tile features, and we'll look at what these look like in code and how they work. And what I've got here is this application. It's a sample application called, So this is an emulator here. I've got all the tiles removed because we're going to do a lot of tile work. So I thought it makes sense to, except for photos, the Photos Hub. If I come down here, this application is called the Final Countdown. And what it does is it cycles through images and quotes about the Apollo 8 mission, which was a mission to the moon back in the 70s, or the 60s, actually. It was the first one that actually where they went around the moon. So it's just an example app. It's pretty trivial. But what it does is it actually does go through and leverages all of the tile functionality. So it's got 2 pivots here, tiles and lock. And we'll talk about lock in a minute. But tiles here, you'll see primary tile, iconic tile, flip tile, and cycle tile. And the ability to create the tile, to update or remove. And then for primary, we can update or reset because we don't allow you to programmatically control the primary tile. Primary tile is the user's choice. The user has to put it on there themselves. If you have an interesting primary tile, you can, of course, alert the user to this fact. So one pattern we recommend is, you may want to, on the first launch, say, hey, by the way, I have a really interesting, compelling live tile. And you can pin that to your start screen if you want to see a lot of interesting things. So let's go through this here and look at what it looks like. You know, I just pinned my tile here like this, but if I go in, and we'll actually run this in the debugger because then we can walk through each piece step by step. Oh, I already hit a breakpoint. Sorry about that. So let's just go by stats. That's not interesting. So here we are. I'm going to update my primary tile. So hit another breakpoint. So when I update my primary tile here, what's happening is I go and I'm running this update click event. And you'll see here this tile helper. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm basically just sending it all the parameters that I want to use to populate this tile. This is an iconic template. I'm using an iconic template as my primary tile. You can use any of the templates as your primary tile. I'm sending it, you know, this information I'm going to have up here in the tile. I'm getting some images and setting the color. That's a new thing now. You can set the color on the background of the iconic template. Previously on other tiles, you were stuck with the theme that the user had picked. Now, what you could do, of course, is use a full bleed image to cover that up. But we think that, you know, based on a lot of feedback, people care about brand. And color can be a big part of that. So it may be that you want to set color as part of your brand. And then we're doing an update here. And I'm going through this tile helper. You'll see here's where actually that operation is taking place. And if I go back to my home screen now, you'll see it's updated with the iconic template. And you saw it had the animation, the title has changed, and the icon, the number has changed, and it did a little bit of an animated count up there. So let's go back in here and look at some of these other options. Got to get rid of some of these. In the interest of time, I'm going to actually do some of this without debugging because I think the first one sort of illustrated how this works in terms of the parameters. If you have more questions, let me know. There's a lot of stuff to show you guys today. In terms of iconic template, that's the same as the one we just looked at because this primary tile is using an iconic template. Flip, here's the flip template. I'll create a flip template, and it created this icon on the right-hand side here with a beautiful image that we include in the Zap. The title, and then the back. And you'll see here, if I go and change this, the small is just a static image, but the wide is using a different image altogether. And that's basically how Flip works now. And if I come through here, and if I want to look at cycle, the cycle tile, again, this is using the 9 large images that are local. Small is using a static image again. But so it's really think people are going to be focused on the wide and the medium size. And if you look here, it'll cycle down to the next image. It does a bit of a pan, and that pan is going to it's adjusted based on whether or not it's a medium size or a wide size, and to make it look a little less jarring. So what does this mean for an existing application? I think that's really sort of the next question. You automatically get a, let's go back here. Seven Five apps automatically get the small size for free. When a 7.5 app runs on an 8.0 device, users will be able to make a small version of your tile with no work at all. That medium asset gets scaled down to the right size. But you get the ability to light up new features. So if you want to continue to ship and work on a Windows Phone 7 app, compiled as a Windows Phone 7 app, you can actually add tiles that take advantage of 8.0 features, and they will work when that application is run on an 8.0 device. With the primary tile, this is done using template 5, which is the standard tile. We convert that to a flip tile template when it runs on an 8.0 device. And then using reflection and detecting the version number, you just do conditional on the version number, then you can use reflection to actually set the values the properties on the actual template. And I'll show you how that, what that looks like in a second. You also have to add another entry to the manifest. You get medium and wide tiles as well. And an important point here is that we really recommend you use WXGA assets. That's the largest resolution we support. We automatically scale those for all the other resolutions, but that's how you'll accomplish the best looking images. And you use shell tile uplate. This is just how you finish up on that. For secondary tiles, like you can actually access all the new templates. It's only the primary one that will be limited to just the flip tile data. And there's also this great third party has already released a nice class library that will handle all the complexity of the reflection piece for you, because reflection is probably the hairiest part of this. But it's actually not that hairy. It's a little bit complicated, but once you look at it, it's not. It's just a question of using reflection to find the appropriate values. And here's what it looks like. In the manifest file, you'll see this is a 7.0 app, and I can tell that because app platform version is 7.1. I've added this bit here, app extra. And I'm just adding an app extra that will be applied when app version is 8, and it's the tile extra. And we've got this is just the ID for the product. This is the actual app entry. Now, if you then look, let's take a look at what this looks like, this application. This is a little sample application that leverages LightUp, and there's some other debug features in here. But what I can do, let me pin that tile. This is that 7.0 application again. And let's remove some of these. So this application here is going to enable me to leverage, change my tiles based on reflection to actually leverage the new features. If I use Light Up My Life, it will change this to be an 8.0 tile, 8.0 compatible tile now. And I come over here and you'll see it's changed to use the flip tile properties. And I now also support wide. And I'll show you what that looks like in here. You'll see in the main page, we just are doing a check here to see what version we're on. And so this is assigning a value to this variable about what version. And, you know, here we've got a Boolean saying, are we on Apollo or not? Apollo was the code name for Windows Phone 8. We don't usually use that very much. And this is actually where it's checking with this return environment OS version. Now, once that's been done, there's some other stuff going on here. Sorry about that. So the actual work then is getting done down here. Let's find the reflection piece. Here it is. So here is where we're actually going to update the flip tile, and based on that click, we actually are sending this helper function to get the information, get the values that we're going to populate it with, and then this is where we get into the reflection piece. So if it's Apollo, we're going to go through here and set these properties. We're using reflection. You'll see that's this get type. And so it's basically spelunking this assembly to find this class and say, you know, what are all the types that are available? And then we come back here and we set those properties. And this is all done conditionally based on if it's Apollo or not. And that's all you have to do. And that gives you the primary tile that leverages the Apollo features. Now we can also go here and look at the secondary. There's a flip tile. These are secondary tiles. If I wanted to add an iconic tile, I can do that. And you'll see here is now an iconic tile. So this is a Windows Phone 7.5 application that's been updated to leverage these new parameters and create new templates, new tile templates. And so we think this is a great way for people to really start playing around with this new feature and functionality in their application without necessarily moving to building a Windows Phone 8 app. Okay. The next big thing I want to talk about is the lock screen. Before the user even looks at the start screen, they're looking at the lock screen. And so we've added the ability for you as a third-party developer to control both the notifications on the lock screen as well as the wallpaper image in the background. So, you know, this is pretty darn cool because this is a very, very high-profile place. You'll see here's a picture of what that would look like with this, and I actually have this on the app. We'll look at it in a second. There's two things going on here. One is that we're updating that block of text on the lock screen where today you'll see calendar appointments there. The user can control that now and put anything else there. If an application provides this functionality, it shows up in a new control panel called the lock screen settings. So there's a little bit of interaction here with the control panel. We give you as a developer the ability to interact with that as well. On the bottom right, you'll notice a new notification icon with a number. And that's another way that you can update information. If you have a numerical value that you can update, you can actually leverage that, become a provider for that area. And then the third one is the wallpaper. This is the detailed status and the quick status, we call those. This information is driven by the primary tile. But the primary tile doesn't even have to be pinned to start, it will still work. And you declare these values in the manifest. Lock screen background is the second piece here that I was talking about. You can update the wallpaper in the background. You can do it on a 30-minute interval is the minimum period of time you can do this. And you can basically define your application as a lock screen wallpaper provider and prompt the user to change that setting. And from there, you'll then be able to update the wallpaper directly. And we suspect you'll use, so these are local images again, so you'll want to use a background agent to update these locally on the device. And again, WXGA images are the default that you would want to provide here. You don't have to, but we suggest that that's the type of image you want to provide. So let's take a look at what this looks like. There were a couple other things I didn't show you that really, in the manifest. So this is the WMApp manifest file, which you may be familiar with. It's under properties, WMApp, and a lot of values are stored here. And in Windows Phone 8, we've added a new graphical editor. Where you just double click, you get this graphical editor. And this is where you can actually specify the template for the primary tile. You could do it here, and then you can also add the images, the different image assets here. Once they're in your project, you can then add them there. You also can adjust capabilities, requirements, and et cetera. But it's often important to look at it in code because at that point, this is where you actually go to change extensions. So these are the extensions. There's three of them that are important. Lock screen notification icon count. This is the quick status. Text field, that's the detailed status, and then background. And so you add that value, and this GUID is always the same. You'll see it's the same for all three. But those are what you use to actually define and denote that your application can change the lock screen. And let's look at what this looks like in the application itself. So I'll pin this back here. And here's my application again. And you'll see, now I didn't talk about this. This is actually, you can launch the lock settings control panel directly from your app. And so it may be that you want to at some point prompt the user and say, hey, by the way, did you know I can control the lock screen? You could go set them from here. And so that's what this button does. Now I have a pivot here for lock that exercises all the features around lock. And this sample is going to be online in the next week or so. So you'll be able to see and walk through all of these examples in depth. But this is where we actually are showing the usage of these APIs in detail. Because one of the things you can do is you could actually just throw a dialogue up and say, do you want to set as lock screen? And with this, using this as a standard dialogue that comes out of the operating system, using this dialogue, you can actually avoid sending them to the control panel. Because we think lock screen is something people will really want to do, we actually added this in. And if I set yes, I can now actually lock the emulator. This is new in Windows Phone 8. You can lock the emulator with the F12 key. And you'll see it's updated the wallpaper now to be an image that I specified. Set here, this is allowing you to set the image. So this is actually going to launch. And so then that went to a breakpoint. Or no, I'm actually not debugging. So here we go. Okay, lock, pick. Now, pick is a way that you could actually, there's a method here that we use that you'll get in the sample code that shows you how to launch a photo chooser. And if I wanted to select this as my wallpaper, I could just do that. And just using that photo chooser, it set the wallpaper, and you'll see now that the wallpaper's changed to that. Reset takes you back to the default, and demo, and then the live lock. There's also a period, there's an agent included in the sample that will demonstrate how to use a periodic agent to refresh the image that you see there. And so it's interesting to look at how this is actually working. And the interaction with the settings control panel is the other interesting piece. It's kind of hard to find the settings control panel. The user has to go into settings, and there's lock screen here. And we've augmented this now to show you your any application that's installed that is a lock screen provider will appear here. So you can set it there. And we also give you the ability, this appears by default, this open app button, once you've set a third-party app as the lock screen provider. And this will send a parameter to your app as well. So you can respond appropriately when the user clicks on that button. So you'll see here I'm handling that parameter. It knows that I'm coming from the lock settings control panel. And when you get that parameter, what you will want to do is open up the part of your application that has to do with the dynamic lock screen. So here we automatically move the application to the lock pivot because of that. So I'm going to take a few minutes and actually walk through a little bit more of the application here, because I realize I sort of glossed over some of that. There's actually quite a lot of functionality here. We've got examples around how to use C#, how to use XML, how to use local images, and how to use remote images as well. And so this is really interesting. And most of it works through this tile helper class here. What we've got here is a tile helper class that you send all the data and the information about the kind of tile that you want to build, and then it goes ahead and builds the tile and performs the operation. So you'll see here there's a class for cycle, flip, and iconic. And if I look at the iconic tile, for example, you'll see here it's receiving all these parameters, and then it's going and setting them right here. Now that's an example of doing it just using the properties. But if you want to see how it's done with XML, you can look down here, and it's conditionally going to be constructed with XML. That's when it then goes and does the tile action, And here we're actually just performing these updates, shell tile create, and then it has to find the tile and do an update, or find the tile and do a delete. So those are the operations that are taking place there in this tile helper class. And of course, you'll be able to use all of this sample code however you'd like in your own applications. So how did we do? There's no more endpoint limit on push notifications. We actually addressed that concern. We've got the three new live tile templates, small, medium, and wide, and a consistent set of APIs now. It's very easy to handle multiple resolutions because we've chosen resolutions that are compatible with each other. If you give us WXGA assets, because we are leveraging the same aspect ratio on all three of our supported resolutions, we can scale those down and you get the highest quality images. We've also provided you the ability to leverage live tiles in your own application, in your existing 7X applications, through reflection. And really what this represents is us trying to give you all of the features and functionality that we leverage in our own applications. So these templates are not they're not additional templates on top of the operating system. They're the exact same templates that we use for ours. The iconic template is the same template that we use for our mail application. The cycle template is the same template that we use for our photos application. So there's actually another thing I wanted to mention. We've removed a limit on background agent execution. We used to, if an application hadn't run in 2 weeks, we would terminate the background agent because we were anticipating there were certain trade-offs being made. This all gets down to us trying to protect the end user experience. And background agents use resources of the device, and so we were making the call that if a user hadn't run an application within a two-week period, we could terminate the background agent. Well, what we're doing here is we're actually removing that limit if the tile is pinned to start or being used for the lock screen. So that means, because we're anticipating here that people, there's a use case where people install an application and they just want it to update the tile, say it's the weather, and they don't ever go into the application. And so you don't want that background agent to stop. And so if your application is leveraging tiles or lock, we will not kill the background process anymore. And that went a lot faster than I thought it would. Do you have, I'd love to entertain your questions about tiles or lock or show you some more of this in the time that we have left. Any questions? Yes. So the question was, is it still possible one? So I believe you're asking about the detailed status block. Is that you can only have one detailed status block? That's right. We only have room for one detailed status block on the home screen. The user gets to pick what that is. An application can prompt the user that it provides that, and they can set it, but that would replace the one that's being used. I didn't actually show you, and maybe I should just show you this, because one thing I didn't show is the quick status and the way that works, because not only do we provide you, let's go into, and we'll go to the settings here. If you go down here, so this is settings control panel, has some other information, and here's where notifications are set. You can actually pick the application that shows detailed status here, and you'll notice because I use that manifest value, my application now shows here, and the user can change to my application. These icons here are the quick status, and the location corresponds to where that will show on the lock screen. So if I don't want messaging on my lock screen or phone. If I don't want anything, I can just say none. Or if I just want my application over here in the lower right, I can do that here too, and say I want to have phone right next to it. And then when I lock the phone, and the issue is I haven't refreshed the tile. That's why you're not seeing it there. So if I go into the application and do a refresh, that's a reset, refresh. That didn't do it. Let's go here. Let's make sure. Open app. Okay, not sure what I'm doing wrong there. But basically, the settings control panel now allows the user full control over this quick status piece and what appears where. Can you say that again? You can no longer use, now are you talking about the quick status or the detailed status, or both? There's two. There's the block of text is the detailed. If you change, you can only have one there, that's right. And if you change that, and both the quick and the detailed status have to be changed at the settings control panel. But you can prompt the user about it, like I said, and take them to the actual control panel. The wallpaper, you don't have to go to the control panel. You can programmatically throw the dialog box, and the user can say, yes, I want to be a wallpaper provider, and then we will set it for you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.